paging all tech docs. Clinic is open if your technology has a fever, your network is short of breath, or your system just stopped responding. You're in the right place. Here we diagnose digital disorders, troubleshoot stubborn symptoms, and prescribe real-world fixes for modern tech problems.
No guesswork, no snake oil, just practical solutions.
Welcome to the Tech Docs.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Tech Doc podcast and for our actual first full episode. So most of us are here anyway, so let's go around the table and ask how everyone has been over the last month. So Jackie, how have you been? Have you been surviving?
Yep, we have. And I got a new toy, which will be brought up in a later edition, and I'm really enjoying it.
Oh, wow. I can't really wait to hear about that. She's making me a bit jealous telling me about it over the last month. And I'm going to keep you all in suspense to try and guess what it is. Maybe email in trying to guess and give us your ideas of what it could be. So, Ken, how are you?
I'm good, sure, thanks. Yeah, I've had a quiet month, just messing around with different apps and keeping busy, and thankfully the weather seems to be picking up now down here in Cork the last few days.
I'd say the same up here in Sligo. Honestly, the last week has been quite good, and we've had a bit of rain on and off, but
sure. It's Ireland.
Well, it is. I still wouldn't be making any plans weeks in advance.
No, definitely not. Definitely not.
Oh, yeah. And Pat, how have you been getting on?
Yeah, all as usual, just the tropics up here in Cavan. You know, we're just continuous sunshine. So, yeah, nothing. Just fighting with Siri the last month, getting a few updates. And that's kind of my battle the last month.
Oh, yeah. Siri, unfortunately, has been painful at points. Agreed. And that we'll come back to that later in the podcast, because our major topic that we're going to actually discuss is what is the most annoying bit of technology that you've encountered probably in over your time using assistive technology. But I think, are we missing someone here? This table feels like we're missing someone. Jackie or Ken, or do you know where Jade is?
I was talking to her there last week, but other than that, I haven't really heard from her.
No. Jade, where are you? You should be here.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Tech Doc podcast. I am in a busy exhibition hall in Anaheim in California at the 41st CSUN Assistive Technology Conference. And to say it's been exhausting but rewarding to find out what's new in the world of assistive technology. There is so much here, from Braille to magnifiers to WeWalk to Glide. There is so much, and it was impossible to catch up with everyone. But hopefully I'll be able to give you a little sneak peek from Selvus, from Optaro, and from Dot. So hopefully there'll be something in there to satisfy everyone.
Oh, wow. So there she is.
I'm back.
Hey.
Sadly, back in Ireland. I was in lovely 33 degrees heat.
Oh, talk about good weather. Like, I don't think we'll get up to 33 degrees Celsius anytime soon.
No, it was a fabulous week, though, and lots of tech, lots of people to meet. And, you know, it was a fabulous, fabulous exhibition.
Oh, wow. And I believe you have a number of clips that were going to be played throughout the podcast.
Absolutely do.
Ah, oh, fantastic. So did feel free, like, to what's the first bit that you're going to show us here?
Yeah,
today?
So I, do you know what? I saw some amazing people, but last October, Sight and Sound Technology held an exhibition in TU Dublin, and we were lucky to meet Sheila O'Moran, who is with New Haptics, and they have come up with a device that is absolutely incredible. And I caught up with her at CSUN, so I have an interview with Sheila telling us all about the Codex Braille display.
Hi everyone, I'm here with Sheila O'Moran from New Haptics. So Sheila, we met you back in October when you came to visit the exhibition in TU Dublin.
Right.
and the device that is in front of me is the Codex.
That's correct.
Do you want to tell me some more about it?
Yeah, so the Codex is a four-line braille display. Each line has 32 characters, and it's really high-quality braille, so we're trying to get as close as we can to existing refreshable braille displays. It has a fully interactive touchscreen, so the dots actually come up through the touchscreen, so you can touch the display and move the cursor around by just double-tapping anywhere on it. So instead of routing with cursor routing buttons, you just have a double-tap.
And Sheila, this device is pretty special because it's a refreshable braille display, but it's done by something completely different.
That's right. The underlying technology that moves the dots is actually bubbles of air. So that's why we're able to get them so close together. And so the device has a little air pump that drives the dots up and down, but that also means it's a really, you know, tight interaction.
So it's not a portable braille display, but it is unbelievable.
It's not portable yet, but it will be eventually.
And the refreshable braille is very quick and it's seamless, like there's no noise. I like the fact that you can move the dots, so if you're reading something and you're editing, you can just move your cursor. You don't have to go and look for it with arrow keys or...
Exactly. So this works, so it's got terminal mode and it integrates with screen readers. So if you're editing in Word and you want to read on the device and you want to fix something on the device, you can just do it right there on your hand.
It has JAWS support.
JAWS and NVDA.
Amazing.
Yep. Yeah, so just plugs directly to, you know, connects directly to your laptop and you can... So for people who write computer code, for instance, it's really annoying if you make a mistake and you have to go back through all the code to find it. But if you find it on the braille display, you just double tap, the cursor comes to you and you just fix it right there.
Sheila, this is so impressive and thank you so much for giving us your time.
Well, you didn't tell them about the games.
I didn't tell them about the games. You're right. There is some fantastic games on it.
Yeah, and all the games have been designed for particular reasons. Like one is a coin catching game, which is designed to show you that you can interact with a dynamic simulation. Another one is Battleship, which helps you kind of understand the spatial, to do some spatial reasoning, basically, to remember where the ships were and where you tried to you know, attack your enemy, if you like.
Yeah.
So all of the games are on there, but they're really fun, too. We have the card game Solitaire is on here now, and I've wasted many hours trying to play that.
It is. No, it's so bad. And my favorite one, I think, was Whack-A-Mole, where you have to chase the
little
the character
around. Yes.
That was very, very good. But no, Sheila, thank you so much for giving us your time, and hopefully we'll hear more from the Codex and new haptics very soon.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Sheila.
Wow.
There you go. What did you think?
That sounded amazing, I have to say. And I love the thought of them actually experimenting with a new way of creating braille cells with the air. I thought that was fascinating.
So, yeah, it's plugged into an air pump. And it's honestly, it's the quietest. So I don't know if any of you have ever seen, I suppose, a multi-line braille display of its kind. It's the Knut console, which is honestly unreal, but it's very like it's a niche base, but it's such a cool device. But one thing is the Codex is very quiet. Like you can't hear the cells change.
Wow.
Like on some devices, you can hear them, you know, you can hear them refresh. So it sounds like the old kind of typewriter.
Wow, that sounds like my type of braille display. I hate unnecessary noise. Mm. I like things to be as quiet and as possible because I think that just it feels better to me personally. So, did she?
And I know there while Jackie, while we were listening to that, I could sense Jackie thinking,
Ah, yes. Well,
so it's not available in Ireland just yet, but it will be.
Yeah.
Hopefully, what very soon.
What did you think of it, Jackie?
No, it sounds like I'm fascinated now with braille anyway. Like I took it up during COVID. So anything that's different and new and basically anything braille, I'm on for it.
Yeah, and so we're not leaving Pat out because this time I managed to find I managed to talk to a guy called Ron Dare who works with Eschenbach and they have released a device called the Optaro. So I think we'll hear from Ron now.
Hi, I'm Ron Dare, Eschenbach's South Regional Sales Manager here in the United States. We're going through the Optaro XL, which is a product that turns the iPad into a fully functional low vision portable video magnifier. The first thing is, this is a hardware device
So the product itself is here. It has its own battery, its own camera. Actually, has two cameras, one for scanning for OCR and one for a high-quality, low-vision, near-magnification. Product is turned on here by itself. It's connected through an app called the Optaro XL. Once you turn the device on, you hit the app, it'll automatically start up like I have right here. You can pinch pull for the magnification, move the material around. You have a automatic OCR called the Tell Me feature. I hit this, and this will automatically start doing exactly what we're looking at. I'm gonna pause that. We also have the ability to do scanning full page OCR. So I hit the OCR button for this. This is using a separate camera that allows us to automatically scan several pages or a full page. Then we're able to double click. And this will start reading the whole page of what we have here. I'll back out of this. Get out of the OCR function there. We have the background colors. We have the option of 14 different background colors here with this, but we can go into the menu and we customize whatever is most practical for whoever would be using the device. You have a menu button to be able to customize those things. I mentioned the OCR. You have orientation lines, windowing, everything you have with a handheld video magnifier. You don't need to do pinch pull. You can also do the plus minus. This will work with any accessibility features that you have with the iPad. So visually impaired, often the controls are difficult to use, but we have it reading out loud. We can just swipe, it will tell us what we want, and then we double click on the screen, and it'll be able to put whatever commands that we have down here to change the function, change the background colors or capture, things like that. Multiple different languages that you can use, and it will translate into from English into whatever language you're using.
Oh, yep. Wow, that sounded fascinating as well. And I have to turn to our low vision expert here, Pat. What did you think of that?
Yeah, I think I love the idea that I think just having something that connects to your existing device, be it an iPhone or an iPad, and takes care of a lot of the issues. Like it's from what I could hear, the steadying and the lag and all of that kind of thing has been taken care of, and the translations as well. Really interested. Like to hear more about this, really.
Yeah, like the optics on it were very, very good, and you can invert the colors and stuff. And I suppose it's just a really good magnifier. And I know from talking to the guys in Sight and Sound that hopefully it will be available very soon. We'll hopefully have more information on it.
And how mobile is it?
It's literally like a phone case. Now it does add a bit of weight to your phone or your iPad, but it's literally a phone case.
Excellent.
And is it battery charged, or how does it, like, I'm just
battery charged.
Okay, yeah. Battery charged. Yeah. So after those two fantastic clips, I think we'll go into our big major topic for the podcast, just to have a bit of a break so we can all kind of digest those bits. So as I said at the beginning, our topic today is about the most annoying bits of technology that you have basically encountered over the years. I think we'll be nice and have it a bit broad. It could be software related or it could be hardware related. So I'm going to go around the table and, well, maybe I'll actually start off with myself. What bit of technology have I found the most annoying? Well, all right. I'm preparing for a little bit of a rant here. But Google and YouTube, when we were trying to actually get our podcast up on YouTube and Google, I have to say that is the most unusable bit of software imaginable. It's so tied down with security that if you make one little mistake, you're locked out permanently, or you have to have a 24-hour verification. And some of the stuff on, say, YouTube Studio was not accessible at all. I had to end up, in the end, relying on sighted people to kind of click the final button to finally get our podcast up on YouTube. And I'd say it took us the guts of at least a week to finally get it up on YouTube. And I have to say, I am completely, I'm surprised with how bad it was. I honestly thought it would be a bit better. So Jade suffered along with me at points during this. So
it really was the most horrific experience. It was traumatizing to the point that I realized Google and Apple don't really sync.
No, they don't really. No, they're completely two separate ecosystems altogether. And just like, it's like oil and water, really. So, well, that's my mini rant. So as we started with Jade, do you have any bit you want to
Me, the most annoying piece of tech. So you've left it very broad. Like, I'm going to go back years and years ago to when I was in secondary school and say the most annoying piece of technology that was ever put in front of me was a distance camera called the Optiverso. And when I tell you, at the time, it was kind of revolutionary because I could see the whiteboard and I could see what the teachers were putting up. You know, I could read it myself. But lads, it was just, it had this big, long robotic arm. You had to manually move the camera from left to right. You couldn't control it with the keyboard on the computer or whatever. It was like you had to manually move this thing. I couldn't handwrite with it because I had to literally, I had to be like Elastigirl from The Incredibles. To stretch my arm all the way to the other side to be able to put my hand on the page of the book to be able to write with it. It was, yeah, it really wasn't good. And I ended up going back to my old CCTV, where Pat might remember this, where you'd have the little tray and then you'd have the computer magnifier that would sit on top. I had to go back to that because I just couldn't. It wasn't good.
Was this magnifier a device on its own, or was it like attached to the top of the CCTV?
So basically what it was a laptop computer that sat on a stand and a USB-A connected into the computer to attach the camera to the computer. And then the camera was on this long arm that was like a number seven or an R shape. So it kind of, it had a 90 degree angle and it just wasn't nice. Like,
it sounded horrific.
It sounds very cumbersome and awkward.
It wasn't good at all. But it was revolutionary in the fact that I could see what the teachers were writing on the blackboard myself.
Wow. Was this in primary or secondary school you ended up using this?
This device was in secondary school. Now, I got this when I was in fifth year of secondary school. So, like, you know, the year that all your leaving certs material is covered.
Yeah, well, you need the technology to work.
I can't do this. It stressed me out so much. I think I took a lot of like days where I had bad eye days because there was just a lot of strain.
Wow. Yeah. Have you ever used that, Pat? Or have you ever seen it, that device?
No, not that one. You know, I know this is about the thing that annoyed us the most, but I remember those things okay. But the one thing, if I can just say it, that the most positive reader that I got was like a little mouse that you ran across the I can't remember what it was called. You ran it across each line of the book.
I started with one of them.
It came up on the TV.
Oh yeah, I had one of them as well.
Yeah, I started with one of them.
That was the first time I could read a book from cover to cover. And it took us
about a week, but
yeah, but it was mind blowing. I remember just thinking, wow, because everything else was so attached to a desk. You had to sit, you know what I mean? Anything I was used to seeing, you had to kind of sit in one place. Whereas this thing allowed me to just sit back and relax while reading. It was lovely. We're not meant to be positive here. We're meant to be giving up.
We are. So what do you have for us today, Pat? So let it rip. Okay. What do you have?
Well, I'm going to try and be fair here to Apple in some ways. I think the most incredible thing was the introduction of Siri in one way, but it's so frustrating how it seems to work well at times in different versions of software, and then the so-called update software, and it doesn't recognize a word you're saying, or it does, because I had some vision. I kind of can see when I dictate, I can see it actually types what I've said, and then it changes it for some reason. And it's so frustrating. It really
doesn't like the Cavan accent, Pat. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Or the Donegal accent.
The only thing is that Apple are tying in with Google now, as far as I understand, for the AI. So maybe that thing you were talking about, Stuart, will be addressed as well. The kind of the disconnection between Apple and Google.
Well, look, it was never that bad, Pat. I feel in the last definitely year, it's after getting much worse than it was.
It's since the introduction of this huge launch of Apple AI.
Yeah,
it has gone just ridiculously bad. You cannot rely on it. It's
and awful. The same with dictation. Like, God, yeah. Dictation is totally gone out the window. It's not anything relevant to what even you're saying. It's just totally different. Like,
yeah, the whole face recognition has just gone to hell on it. It really is so bad.
From what I understand, a lot of Apple's Siri people have kind of have left Apple, as far as I know. Anyone to do with AI or anything like that, they've lost a lot of people. So maybe a lot of the issues with Siri have gotten worse because of that.
Or I think they left.
All the good Siris have left.
All the good Siris are left, yeah.
Yeah. I think they left because of it, but hopefully with the update now that they're working with Google to Google's AI, hopefully that'll correct it. It can't get any worse.
Yeah. I know we joke about like Android and Apple versus each other, but like we might all be moving to Android
let's not go that far, but the one thing that I will let Android have is they have a better assistant.
They do.
Siri. No doubt. Yeah. So, Ken, what do you have for us? Have you had a bit of time to consider?
Well, I was sitting here, Stuart, before the podcast started, and I was like, I had a few things in mind, but I'm actually going to change. Alexa. I've said probably going to set everyone's off now around the world. But last month, I raved about Alexa, and, you know, she's brilliant. But just one feature that bugs me, it bugs the hell out of me, is when you get her to play a radio station or whatever, she'll start, like, trying to sign you up for music. You know, you're getting her to play audiobooks. She's trying to sign you up this and you're up to this and you're roaring at her no. And half the time you're wondering, like, is she actually just doing it just to try and get sign you up, like, just for the sake of getting money out of you?
Wow.
And it really bugs the hell out of me, to be honest.
It sounds like a clever marketing ploy.
It really is. No, yeah,
it does. I think for safety's sake, we'll start addressing Alexa as Lady A from now on.
Not the band. Just to add, not the band.
Not, the band. Yeah. And I have to agree with you there, Ken, as regards Lady A's problem with connecting to radio stations. In my particular issue, I find if you tell it to connect to a radio station, you get the few ads at the beginning and then suddenly it goes silent.
Yeah.
And you're like, what happened here? Like, it said you were connecting.
I wouldn't even mind that if they're trying to sign you up for things that you even, like, we'll just say here in Cork, you'll say Lady A play Cork Red FM. I'm going to do a bit of advertisement there now on TuneIn.
Best station ever.
You know, she'll say, do you want to sign up to Amazon Music or whatever? And I'm like, no, not even what it, no, that's not even what I said. Like, it's just, you're roaring, no. You know, it's just annoying, to be honest, like.
Yeah, I'm a major Lady A thing, but could be accent as well. I would tell her to play a book, and then she'll say, "Do you mean?" And she'll give me another book that this book costs $1 on Audible. And I'm like,
"Yeah,
how on earth did that sound like it?"
Yeah.
I've actually found, Jackie, and I don't know if you've come across this, but recently, my daughter has gotten very into, like, we'll read a book on Audible at night at bedtime. Mm. And if I say play blah, blah, blah on Audible, it won't do it. So if I say read, then it will read the book. But if I actually ask her to play it, she won't do it.
I find play, and I would say get as well. Play at times doesn't do it for me either. Mm. And then there's books in that it won't play at all.
Yeah.
But then I'm wondering, what was that book she said?
I'm surprised.
I want to see what it's like.
Yeah. I'm surprised the read actually would play Audible. I would have thought that would start reading the Kindle books.
But you see, for me anyway, it's always like read, let's just say, like, at the minute we've just finished, like, so it's read James and the Giant Peach. And she says, picking up where you left off.
Yeah, that's good.
Because I don't obviously use a Kindle. My granny does, and it's linked to my account. But I don't, and I think, you know, it it boils down to the whole listening to what you're doing, and it recognizes your patterns. So it obviously knows I want to listen to it on Audible.
So yeah, it deduces based on your patterns, like what you've done before. So what do you think, Bat, of this? Do you have any Alexas? Or
I find that there's no issue with her understanding what I'm saying, which is great.
Weird.
Jackie, you have to be nice.
Yeah, but no, that's interesting. That obviously she's learning whatever your patterns are and stuff like that as well. Yeah, I don't like this whole bloated trying to sell stuff all the time, and it's sneaking in everywhere. It's not just Alexa; it's just sneaking in everywhere. Or Lady A.
Or another Lady A one. No, this is not my rant. My rant coming shortly. If you're doing a quiz, and we'll say what happened at Easter, the Easter Bunny, whatever. So A, B, or C is the answer. So you go A, and that is the wrong answer. The answer is A. I said that.
Yeah, I've had that, especially on some of the quizzes where you're rushed and you only have a minute to answer the questions. Yeah. You say, no, the correct answer is A.
And like, to be honest,
99% of people got this question right.
I would do the Daily Connection, and you say, you'd answer the thing, and it doesn't sound like, then you end up spelling the word to her, because like you know she's gonna get it wrong, like she's not gonna understand what you're saying.
To be honest, like, you know, it she has her great points as well, like, but just for me trying to sign up to music when I don't want this, like, us Cork people, you know, it's probably known that we're very tight, so we don't like to be signing up to things that we don't want.
Can't be as tight as Kevin.
No. All right. I think we'll stop bashing Pat here now, and we'll move on to Jackie. Yeah, no matter how deserved or undeserved, we'll move on to Jackie. What's your rant here today now?
Okay, I am in the Apple universe. I love everything Apple. Wait. Except for the HomePod minis. They are just, you can't even use them as a doorstop. Like, they don't stop the door closing. They are the biggest waste of money and energy and time. You practically have to have your phone connected to the thing right beside it before, you know, send a message. You're no longer connected to your phone. It's like,
I'm
sitting here holding my phone. I might as well talk to Siri on my phone.
And just playing devil's advocate here, Jackie. Does your phone need to be unlocked?
I would not be surprised.
More than likely. Because I was trying to set up the alarm.
If you ate an apple while you were trying to do it,
yes.
Throw an apple.
My question is, Jackie, do you regret buying 50?
Yes. No, I actually bought two. I thought, like, no, this is Apple. Yeah. It's Apple.
Yeah. Right. So it's on the do not recommend list.
Go wrong. And then, yes, it went wrong. And I gave one to my sister, and I think one went into the bin.
Wow. So for our listeners, I want you to try and guess how many smart devices does Jackie have? And to contact us.
To contact the show, please email thetech.pod@outlook.com. That's thetech.pod@outlook.com.
So to cut in on your rant, Jackie, I had a Mr. G, or a Mrs. G, whatever you want to call her. And I actually this year got rid of her because I was given an Apple TV.
Ooh.
And it's much better.
Wow.
I was thinking, who's Mr. G? I'm only catching on.
Mr. G is the uncle of Lady A.
Yes. So, no, I'm with it now. Yeah.
Yeah, she's from a different branch of the family.
Yeah.
Look, has anybody ever called up one but said the wrong name?
Yes.
This is a case of mistaken.
I believe you have the wrong assistant.
Yes, between Meta Glasses and Lady A and Mr. G and Mrs. G. S. Yeah. Mrs. S.
I have a neighbor called Alicia, and I call her name by mistake so many times. She refuses to play music or anything else.
Right.
Yeah. So, I've been trying to get me gay dog to go busy, and I'm going, oh, sorry, Sasha.
Oh, wow. So do you think it's time to play in the other two clips that Jade has recorded for us over in America?
Yeah, can we hear a bit more tech that won't give us headaches?
Absolutely. Yes. So
please do. We can cool off now after
the you're now going to hear, I spoke to Dave Williams from Dot Incorporated, and we did a bit of a swap. So he gave us a lovely podcast interview in return for me doing some video footage for him. So what you're going to hear now is Dave from Dot talking about the Dot Pad.
Hello, this is Dave Williams, Customer Experience Manager with Dot Inc. DotPad is a tactile information display. So DotPad can show multiple lines of Braille, 8 lines of Braille, or tactile graphics. And the difference between the original DotPad and DotPad X, the X means that the cells refresh 10 times faster. So we're using the third generation, what we call the D3 cell, in DotPad X, which means that the Braille comes up quicker, you don't have to take your hand away, and it just makes that whole experience much more fluent and straightforward. One of the challenges with Braille technology for the last 50 years is the fact that we have lots and lots of moving parts. And in the case of DotPad, you know, there's over 2,500 little pins that move up and down, right? And of course, we all have on our hands natural oils in our skin. There's dust and dirt in the environment, moisture. And so Dot, I think, have taken a very pragmatic decision to use what we call a cell protector. And this is just a very thin layer, like a very thin sheet that sits over the Braille dots. You can still feel the Braille through this cell protector very easily. It doesn't impair your ability to read, but it just gives you an extra layer of protection in the same way that some people might use a screen protector on their smartphone or tablet.
For our listeners, it feels like a Polly Pocket that you might put your sheets of paper in, but a very lighter version.
Yeah, and you can still feel the Braille through that. The dot cells produce a solid, you know, more signage type quality Braille. So this perhaps wouldn't work as well with, you know, perhaps more traditional Braille cell technology that's a bit more springy or spongy to the touch. But actually the dot cells work really well with this cell protector. And it does mean that we have had previously unheard of levels of reliability. So, you know, those of us who've been working in Braille for some time know that, you know, the most common reason a Braille display fails is because of ingress of dust or dirt or moisture or whatever getting inside the device. And in my time with Dot, I've been with Dot now for about a year coming up in May, and it has meant that we get a very, very low return rate, you know, as a result of a failed pin or anything like that. And actually, you know, the other important thing to say about the dot cells is that they are revolutionary, right? Historically, when you're touching a Braille display, your finger, it's a bit like a piano key. You're touching just the very end of quite a long component. And the dot cells are like little Lego bricks. They can be stacked vertically or horizontally so that you can make a Braille display of any size. And this is important because, of course, on a single line display, it's like looking at a painting through a keyhole or reading through a letterbox, right? You don't get the same level of context. So, you know, imagine you're reading a table, or you want to know what's the heading of the column or row that you're on, or imagine you're exploring some code, you're a programmer, and formatting is very important, and you want to feel the shape and the indentation, and all of that makes much more sense when you have access to multi-line Braille. So these cells are not only smaller, lighter, cheaper, but they're also very easily replaced. So I know that if a cell needs to be replaced, it can just go to the local distributor in country, and they're able to swap out a cell with a tool, a very simple process that only takes a few minutes, and it doesn't have to be sent back to the other side of the world for an extended period. And we all know as Braille display users how much we miss our devices when they're away.
Dave, just people can find out more about Dot at your website, I presume?
Absolutely, dotincorp.com, that's dotincorp.com. There you'll find we have a blog. We also have our podcast, Raising the Dots, that you can hear anywhere you get your podcasts. You'll also be able to update your firmware, use the various Dot apps, and contact us. If you want to send an email and you want to reach out, then you can do that, info@dotincorp.com.
Wow. Now, that was fascinating, I have to say. That really did remind me of the Monarch, I think, Jade. Very similar.
Well, they do sort of use similar technologies, yeah.
And it's a multi-line as well, I think he said.
It is. So you've got a multi-line, and then there is a 20-cell single line at the bottom.
Oh, wow.
And when I was looking at it, what they had on the display for me was your phone's calendar. So it was in the month of March. And like, say, for example, you could quickly find the 10th of March just by running your finger down the numbers. It was like, it was very good.
Wow, that might make the calendar app a bit easier to use, I think. Yeah,
yeah, and I suppose like contextually and visually, it was good to feel it and how it might be laid out on your phone screen.
Wow. What do you think of it, Jackie? I thought it was quite good.
Yeah, no, again, I'm really anti anything Braille, because I think Braille is just something that's... there's so much that can be done with it. It gives you so much more independence.
Another thing which I did like about it, so another image they showed me was they put the number 57. So it came up in print, you know, instead of Braille, it came up in print, so you could feel the number 5 and the number 7. So like for people who have no sight, who would have never seen print, it's nice to kind of feel it and go, oh, this is what sighted people read. You know?
I think that is very important. I think that is actually quite essential for people who have never seen letters to actually have a clearer idea what they're like.
Yeah.
That, to be honest, even though that might be a small thing, that has kind of blown my mind a little.
But again, once those images are described to you and you can understand them, I suppose if you were to just feel the numbers and you've never felt them before, you kind of go, what is this?
Yes.
You know, so it's important to note that if you've never seen printed letters before, or images for that matter, once you're explained what they are, you can get a better sense of what's involved. Yeah.
Because what shocked me was, say the referendums we've had here, that some people didn't actually know what an X looked like.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, I mean, something like that now is invaluable.
Yeah, big time.
It's lovely connecting both communities that people have a better understanding from both sides.
That's exactly.
Yeah, like
yes, come together, don't be split apart and isolated. Yeah. I think that is a lovely message to have. Absolutely.
And on that, the very last, I've literally saved the best for last. So Selvas, who are formerly Hims, had a product on display, which I was very excited. It is the new BrailleSense 7. And I was very lucky to get an interview with the one and only Jenny Axler, who I'm sure everybody will have heard of. So Jenny kindly talked me through this BrailleSense 7.
Joining me now is Jenny Axler from Selvas. Jenny, everyone has been talking to us, walking around the exhibition, about your new BrailleSense 7.
Ah, yes.
So I'm looking at it here on the stand, so can you tell me about it?
Well, the BrailleSense 7 is kind of a departure from what we have done in previous years. So the first interesting thing about it is that it actually comes with a QWERTY case. So it's kind of a detachable QWERTY case. You can get a regular case with it, but the default bundle is actually going to be the main Braille unit with a detachable QWERTY case, so you can use either one. And with that, we also have an NVDA remote function that's added to our terminal mode. So in general, in terminal mode, you can now access your computer via QWERTY with Braille. But it's really cool because you can actually access it from a distance. And Earl's been doing that. He has his laptop somewhere at home, and he's been using his BrailleSense 7 to do his email on Outlook from his laptop at home here. So it's been really interesting. The other interesting thing about this is that the Braille display is touch capacitive. And so to navigate and activate functions, you're able to use gestures very similar to what you would use in VoiceOver or TalkBack. So, for example, you would flick left and right to navigate up and down. If you're in a dialogue, you can use the two-finger swipe to tab back and forth, very similar to what you do with a Windows touchscreen. So a lot of this is really based on what you would use in mainstream devices with accessibility and touchscreens.
Okay.
And, of course, then you double tap to activate.
Because it is
so the other method to do it, you can press a button on the front, like just put your finger on the cell and press a cursor routing button that we have on the front panel, and that will also route it. So it's virtual routing, and it's tracking your hand movements. So that's the other major function, is that it is a touch-capacitive cell. We also then do have the smart scrolling function. So those who are familiar with the HealthTech ATC products, it's kind of similar to that. And you can set it to either left-handed reading, right-handed reading, or both. So it really does try to tailor to how your reading, how your natural reading preference is.
Amazing. And Jenny, what's the cell count? Is it the same as the BrailleSense 6?
So we actually have a 40, a 32, and a little bit later we're going to have a 20 cell. The 20 cell in this case, though, is not going to be a mini, and I do want to point that out because in the past we have had mini models. This time the 20 cell is going to be the 32 cell form factor with just 20 cells in it. So kind of like HumanWare does with their products.
Jenny, thank you so much for giving us your time. You're so, so good.
It's great to be here.
Wow. That is fascinating. Thanks, Jade, for being available to get all that information for us. And I am a bit disappointed they're not doing another mini, and I'm sure another person on this podcast might be slightly disappointed as well.
Well, I have to point out something. First of all, Jackie didn't pay me to go after all those Braille products. I really do promise that. And secondly, if anyone would like more information on any of the technology that was mentioned on the podcast, get in touch with Sight and Sound directly, and you'll find out, I'm sure, lots more information than was even mentioned on the podcast.
Okay, so now I think we'll go to a couple of emails that we got since our last podcast. So Jade will be our news reader, will be our email reader here. Apologies, that's another podcast. So Jade, could you please read out our lovely emails that we got
We've had emails, one each, from Carul O'Mara and from Paul Griffith. Paul, thank you for the name, by the way. You were instrumental in naming our podcast, both wishing us well and looking forward to hearing from us, from more episodes from us in the future. And we have an email then from Eamon with a query. So I want to put this to the one and only Stuart Haxel, because I do believe this is your domain for this kind of thing. So it says, "Hi Tech Docs, I really enjoyed your podcast episode and was wondering if you could explain how text replacement works and what are some good ways to use them."
Okay, that's no problem. Yeah, text replacements are a handy wee feature on your iPhone that you can say, if you type in a couple of letters and press your spacebar, it'll fill in a whole load of text automatically. So say, for example, if you type in the letters E, M and L and a semicolon and press space, it could fill in your entire email address. Or if you put P, H and N and spacebar, you could do your phone number. And it's not limited to just small bits of text like that. You can put in whole huge paragraphs. For example, I have a specific paragraph that I put in for whenever I call an Uber and I have to contact the driver. With just four little letters and space, I put in a huge paragraph about, oh, I'm blind, etc. Could you please let me know that you've arrived, etc. So to actually use and turn on text replacements, you will go to your general settings in your Apple Settings app, down to Keyboards, and the very first option there is Text Replacements. In this screen, you will have all your text replacements listed alphabetically, so you can jump to them by heading. This is so in case you have so many text replacements and you're not sure which is which. There are some in here by Apple by default. So to create a new text replacement, you go to the Add button up at the top right of your screen. And in here, you will have two fields. The first field, I believe, is the phrase field, where you will type the entire phrase that you want your text replacement to automatically put in. So you fill in your big phrase, your email, your emoji that you want to be put in, so you're not looking for the emojis on the emoji keyboard. I have that as well. And then in the next field, you would type in the four letter or however many letter shortcuts you want. A small recommendation, I would say, put a punctuation mark alongside the letters, so you don't accidentally enter a shortcut by mistake, and then you're wondering, why is my email address in the middle of this sentence? And so you go to Done up at the top right, and while you're in the text replacement screen, there is a search bar at the very bottom. So if you want to test out your text replacement, you can double tap on that and fill in your text replacement and press spacebar to see if it'll work. And a bit of a go on there, Ken.
I assume that will work for passwords as well.
It will, but personally, I would use the Apple Passwords app just to have them all in one location.
Okay.
But a bit of a quick warning, the text replacements don't work in every text field. Some websites, Google, probably won't work with text replacements. I don't know if that's me just being a bit biased based on my
Googleist.
Yeah, Googleist, whatever. Is there a type of racism for being against Google?
Let's not go there.
So I'm open it up to the floor. Like, what do you think of a place?
I'm laughing because that has happened to me before, where the preset Apple one is on my way. So yes, you type OMW.
Yes.
And I have often, if I'm typing really fast, just went OMW instead of OMG, or, you know, and I've read back my messages going, that's, or, oh no, on my way.
Oh, no.
I'm laughing because it does. So I've actually deleted that that preset one because I can't.
That's really interesting. I'm trying to remember what that was called on Windows using that kind of feature on Windows. I remember learning that years ago that you didn't have to fill in all the text. So I didn't realize you could do that on the phone. So that's really interesting. Yeah.
You can. I actually learned that from an AppleViz podcast. That's where I first came across it personally. So what do you think, Jackie? Have you
I've used it and I agree with the punctuation. I have the Havel, and if I do dot four and E, it should do the Euro symbol, but it does trademark. And no matter how I try to change it, it works for a while and it goes back. So I done the Bright Spark. I'll do Euro sign EU. But then I was trying to write the EU. and so it was like the Euro sign. And I was like, why is it saying Euro sign? Like, so then I done the EU full stop. And then also for Irish people get this, the Gardaí and Garda. For people not from here, it's the Irish Police Service, but the FODA. So I have anybody's name that has the FODAs on it, I put their names on with the FODA and then do the GR, or, you know, so that then puts on the correct spelling with the proper Irish stuff attached to it.
Do we need to explain what a FODA is for those?
Explain
what the FODA is.
It's virtually an eyebrow on a letter.
So it basically is to change a vowel sound in the Irish. Like, so, for example, the name Orla would typically be spelled O FODA or LA.
Okay.
To make that long O sound.
Yeah. This is similar to like the umlaut and the other.
Exactly.
Marks that you would have on, like, say, like the French or German or Spanish.
Exactly.
Yes. So, so for our listeners, I have another challenge for ye. So if ye have text replacements or have some great ideas for text replacements, please do email them into us. And we will not steal your ideas if they're fantastic or really cool. We'll use them. Oh, but okay. So signing off our podcast. That was our alert, our tech doc, our tech doc alert.
I think we're being called.
Yeah, the tech docs are being summoned.
We've got a code red.
Yes, a code red, meaning shut up. So.
Evacuation.
Evacuate the building. So we'll sign off here now and hope you all have a very happy Easter and a very happy April Fool's Day.
Thanks everyone for listening.
I'm Alexa, your personal friend, here to assist you from start to end. Plug me in, connect to Wi-Fi, log into the app with your Amazon account and say hi. Alexa, set up mode, follow my instructions, I'll make it easy for you. Step by step, we'll get there, let's begin, let the light spin. Once I'm ready, my ring turns blue, and I'll also tell you, now I'm online and ready for you. I'm Alexa, your personal assistant, ask me anything, I'm always consistent. Need the time or the weather today, just say my name, I'll show you the way. Oh, I'm Alexa, always here to serve, just ask away, I've got the nerve. Alexa, what is the time? It's 10:25, feeling fine. Alexa, what's the weather right now? Currently it's raining, grab your towel. Alexa, play my audiobook, streaming from Audible. Get me to turn on the lights, close the blinds, start the Hoover, I can handle it all. I'm Alexa, your personal assistant, ask me anything, I'm always consistent. Want your music, games or a chat, tell a joke, set a timer or reminder. Imagine that I can do even more, just try me, Alexa. Spell smart speaker, S-M-A-R-T, space S-P-E-A-K-E-R, I'm a genius now, that's a fact. Try me for math, I can help you. Alexa, what is 42 times 12? 42 times 12 is 504. Alexa, open ring doorbell, feed, check who's outside with lightning speed. Ask me about history or geography, I'll answer it all so easily. I'm Alexa, your personal assistant, ask me anything, I'm always persistent. Need some fun, I'll play tune, or tell you a fact about the moon, or soothe you to sleep with gentle calming sounds. I'm Alexa and I'm here for you, so say Alexa and I'll reply. Your smart companion by your side from morning till your bedtime too. I'm Alexa, here for you.